the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God. That we should be called the children of God. When people talk of depression, I can identify. And people talk of anxiety. Well, that was very real. And people talk about looking with your eyes. And I know my eyes are God's. I see things that aren't even there. He directs my sight. And a lot of times he just, my mind goes to, and my imagination's the worst part when it comes to fear, the what ifs and maybes, and make sure that doesn't happen, and chop, chop, chop. Yeah, and I go to church on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. People call me religious. I just need the constant reminder of how much God cares.
That's good, man.
And He does care.
That's right.
He cares very deeply. And the human spark has survived since the beginning of creation. The beginning of creation, who knows how long ago that was. But we have a victor that's returning, that's coming back for us.
Amen.
To gather up.
Amen.
His flames in his fire.
That's good. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You say amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you, God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're here today and that we have a safe place where we can just uncover the things that we're afraid of or the battle. We have different battles in our lives, and sometimes our battle is laziness. Sometimes our battle is selfishness. Some of the things we don't even want to talk about or own up to, but it's been a good message today that the battle is the Lord's, that you've already won this for us, that we are not to be timid. We don't have that spirit of fear. That you are in control. And so just remind us of that today. And for especially, Lord, some of us here today who are really going through a hard time and are really under that attack, whether it's depression or drugs or greed or whatever, God, that you're in control. That you are still on your throne. That you are still Jesus the Christ, the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings. We thank you and we praise you, and help us to walk in your victory today. And I pray that we'll be able to crush that enemy under our feet, like you say. And we'll take authority today, as we've been praying, authority over these attacks and over the accusations and over the anger, over the disappointment, perhaps, that we have in our lives right now, or maybe it's a relationship we're going through that's crumbling. We take authority over how that makes us feel, how that makes us feel defeated, and we just make a stand for you today, Jesus, because you are our Lord and you reign in our hearts. I thank you, God. I love you, and what a wondrous thing it is to belong to Jesus. So now as we open your word, we want to hear from you, and we pray that your word would just speak directly into our hearts. It'll be relevant. There'll be something fresh, and that we will receive the blessing from God today of your wonderful word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday we looked at Luke chapter 18 and kind of started with the premise that this is the words of Jesus before he went to the cross, and that those are important things, that, you know, almost like as he got closer to the cross, there were some really important things he wanted to say to us. Kind of like, I think, what happened in my life. If I was dying, there's probably, and I knew I was going to die, I think I'd want to take my sons aside and say, okay, now there's a couple things I need you to know before I'm gone, and here's some stuff I want you to just really hear from me. I believe that's what Jesus was doing. And the last instructions that he gives us before he goes to the cross are found in Luke 18 and a few other places, and Mark as well. Last week looked at the whole thing of pride. I think Jesus was warning his church and warning his disciples that pride is a pretty deadly thing. And so we looked at that story last week of the tax collector who prayed so humbly. You know, he barely could whisper the prayer to God. And then there was that Pharisee who just stood boldly and I said, thank you, God, that I'm not like him. You know, that pride, and it came out. And there's a warning in there, and we talked about that. And I want to kind of carry on with that this morning. In Luke chapter 18, we're going to have that on the overhead or on the screen. And I want to look at a couple of other following teachings. The one is about the little children who come to Jesus, because that follows that story. And then right after that is the story of the rich young ruler. And I'm going to do this a little differently today. I want to read from Mark while you read from Luke on the screen, just because there's a couple little nuances, a couple little differences. Mark was writing to a persecuted church. So in all the Gospels, there's always a little bit of a different flavor or maybe some different emphases. So in Mark's Gospel, he's emphasizing the love of God and that we're going to make it through this persecution and that it's going to be all right. And there's a lot of assurance in Mark's Gospel, and I think you'll see that as I read it. So you read from Luke, I'll read from Mark, if you want to put that on the screen. And I'm going to be reading the same stuff, but you'll just notice a couple little differences. So right after the story in Luke of the tax collector and the Pharisee, we read these things, these words, that people were bringing, are we there? Here we go. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Mark uses that stronger word. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children, so this is a little different part for Mark, and so he took the children in his arms and he put his hands on them and he blessed them. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not fraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all of these things I have kept since I was a boy. And then Mark adds this. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus looked around, and he said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were even more amazed. And they said to each other, well, who then can be saved? Which is a pretty good question. Who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Amen. That's as far as we're going to read. And today we talk about money to some degree and about riches and how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Starting off with just a couple of disclaimers or things that we need to understand. First of all, that when Jesus said that he needed to sell all his possessions and follow him, that wasn't a blanket statement for all the rest of us. It might be, but it isn't necessarily something that we're all called to do. That sometimes we're given talents in life, and there's parables about this too, where God gives you 5 or he gives you 10 or whatever you have, and he says, now I want you to invest this and use it for the sake of the kingdom. He doesn't say go sell it all the time. So understand that there's a balance here. The other thing is that money is really never the problem. The problem is the love of money. And Timothy talks about that. He says the love of money, not money itself, but the love of money is the root of all evil, right? So just, you know, a little bit of a context so we get a fair picture here and we understand it. But here we have the story of another individual who was prominent in the religious community. And he comes up to Jesus, and he's a rich ruler. And he says, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be sure my name is written in the book of life. And Jesus says, okay, that's great, but here's what you got to do. You got to sell everything you have. And because he loved money so much, that was a really hard thing for him to hear. And he couldn't do it, so he went away. Mark says his face fell, and he went away. He went away sad. He went away sad. Money is a problem. The love of money can be a real problem in our lives because money so easily replaces God. And the contrast, and this is what we're going to get to today, is we need to see that little middle part of the children coming to Jesus and Jesus sitting down and taking the little children upon his lap and putting his hands upon them and blessing them, that's how you get to Jesus, by coming to him like a little child. It's what he says, right? That if you don't receive me like one of these little children, then you'll never inherit the kingdom of heaven. And the problem is, and this isn't true for all rich people. Well, by the way, I need to say one more disclaimer. You're all rich, by the way. So before you say, oh, good, I can relax on this one. This doesn't apply to me. I have no money in my pocket. I got 40 bucks and that's it. Sorry about this. But from the standard of the world and where you sit in the world, you are extremely wealthy. And so whether you like it or not, this applies to all of us. And it doesn't matter whether you have $1 million or if you're just making $800 a month on Social Security or whatever it is. You are very wealthy, and this does apply to you. Now, where was I? I was talking about riches, right? That the problem when we have great wealth is that often, not always, but often, that wealth replaces God. It becomes what drives us. It becomes what saves us, you know? The psalmist says in Psalm 46, God is my refuge and strength, my ever-present help in times of trouble. The wealthy man says, my money is my refuge and my strength, and it is my ever-present help in times of trouble. I can buy myself out. I got enough money, I can take care of my problems, right? So that's the problem with being really wealthy, is that it's easy to replace God. You don't really need God. You don't depend on God. You depend on your wealth. You don't find your peace in God when you have a lot of money. Again, I'm talking too generally. Some people don't find their peace. They find their peace in their money. I got an RRSP. I'm going to be all right. I'm set for retirement, right? I don't really depend on God. I depend on what's in my bank account. And that's the downfall for all of us, because we've all got ready cash available. It says in Hebrews that my God is a consuming fire. When you're wealthy, sometimes that changes to my money is a consuming fire. You never have, here's a reality, here's the truth. There's never enough money, never. And if you don't have any, if there's nothing in your pocket, there's never enough money. But if you're very wealthy, a lot of times there's never enough money either, because there's always that next dollar. There's always another 100. There's always that next million. There's always more that we're thirsting for and we're hungering for, and we're not really hungering for God anymore, because money becomes so important in our lives. And the reality is that God gave us money, and it serves a good and a useful purpose in our lives, but he gave it for that purpose. He gave it so that we will bless other people, so that we'll tithe faithfully, and so that we'll use it to build his kingdom, so that, as Gord said, so that people are going to hear about Jesus and they're going to come to him. And if we actually did what he wanted us to do with his money in the whole Western world, and we took our money and we used it to proclaim Christ and to let people know who he is and used it to build the kingdom of God, there would be, I am sure, so many, many more people serving the living Christ today. I think that's true. And so what he says really, and people who the audience who would read this, they would get this better than we do, but they would get that this middle little story about the little children, and this was not a parable, this was what actually happened. The middle little story where Jesus is sitting down and some mothers bring their children to Jesus, and apparently this must have happened on a pretty regular basis. We read about it different times in the scriptures. But this little story is so poignant and so telling for us about what it really looks like to come to Jesus. You got the pride of the Pharisee on the one hand. You got the riches of the young ruler on the other hand. And right in the middle are these moms bringing their little babies to Jesus. And the disciples are saying, keep those kids away. Would you just mind putting them in the nursery? Get them out of here, right? We do not want, the master is busy, and he is not your babysitter, right? And Jesus says, no, no, no. In fact, right, he was offended by it, Mark says. He was offended. He says, no, let the little children come to me. Let them come. I want to hold them in my arms. I want to put my hand upon them. I want to have a relationship with them because they're precious to me, because their eyes sparkle, because they are incredible creations that I've made, and I love them so much. Amen? Amen. They're amazing. Every Sunday morning, every single Sunday morning, I come into church, I put my guitar down, I flip my coat over the seat, and little Rose is waiting for me. How old is Rose? Five? Five. Every Sunday, this happens every single Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning, she's waiting for me, and I know she's being respectful because probably her mama said, wait, just wait. Let the pastor get his guitar down and put his coat off, and then she's waiting, and then I look at her, and she looks at me, and I say, Rose, and she comes like this, and she grabs me around the legs, and like this morning, we had a little prayer together. You know what? That's what Jesus intended. That's what he means when he says, you got to come to me like a little child. You got to come willing. You got to come vulnerable. You got to come ready to sit on his lap. And you know what? That's hard to do when you're a wealthy man. I'm not saying that no wealthy man can do this, but it's hard to do because there is, and this is really in this whole story, we need to see the difference. You look at the one hand on this little child like Rose, and you look on the other hand, in contrast to rich people, wealthy people. Little girl like Rose is ready to come. And she makes herself vulnerable. And her arms are wide open all the time. But when you're really rich, you got more of a stand, you know, an arm's length kind of thing. Just stay away from me. You know, I don't trust you guys. You're probably after my money, right? Rose or little children just want to come and they just want to sit on the master's lap. And Jesus said, unless you come to me like that, unless you come and you're ready to sit on my lap and you're ready to spend some time with me, unless you come when I hold my arms out, you actually come into them, you're not going to receive the kingdom of heaven. And the thing that money does sometimes is it keeps us at a distance. One of the things about little children that's really important is that they are always ready to receive a gift. I have a one-year-old grandson named Isaac. I love that kid. And he's just an amazing little boy. But you know, and you probably can agree, I don't know how old your son is. 14 months. I can take a little bit of dog food, and I say, here, Isaac. And you know what he does? I'll take it. Like, he'll take whatever I give him. Give him a ping pong ball, he'll take the ping pong ball. Right, if I take my keys out and I wiggle the keys, right? He wants the keys. That's important because he's willing to take the gift, even if it's not good for him. He's willing to take the gift. The problem with many of us, whether we're wealthy or not, is that we're not really willing to take the gift. We want to keep God, we want to keep our friends, everyone else at arm's length. I'm fine. That's the problem when you're wealthy. I'm fine. I don't need you. I can take care of my own problems. I don't need your gift. I don't need your charity. I'm okay. You are not. You are not? Okay. You can have all the money in the world. You're not okay unless you have come to Jesus, unless you are sitting on his lap, unless you allow him. Here's probably the most important thing I'm going to say today. Unless you allow him to touch you. And let's be honest. We don't like to be touched. We want to keep our distance. But Jesus says, I need to touch you. I need to lay my hands on you, and I need to bless you. And I don't care how important you are, or how educated you are, or how wealthy you are. Unless you're ready for Jesus to, unless you're willing for Jesus to put his hands on you and to bless you, you are missing the Master's touch. Another thing about little children that I think is profound, and it's true for most little children, is that they're generally prepared to be content to sit on your lap. Not all of them, but a lot of times my grandkids, you know, they come and they want to see Grandpa. Grandpa sits down, and I got little Olivia, she sits on my lap. Friday night she was over, and we read a book together, and then we had some ice cream, and when she was done with her ice cream, she ate the rest of mine. But you know what? She just sat there because she was happy and content to sit there. And the problem with money is that there is a discontentment that goes hand in hand with money, because money is something we always need more of, so that it's really not about love, it's more about lust. Money is much more about lust. We lust, we hunger for more. There's never enough. I want to accumulate more. I want a bigger RRSP. I want a bigger check. I want more dollars per hour. But the opposite of that is this little child. Have you seen the picture? You seen those two pictures? There's that little child, and she's more than happy to sit in Grandpa's lap, and she just loves freely. And she doesn't want anything other than ice cream, but you know, she's not hungry. She's not lusting for more stuff or for more money. You understand where this is coming from? You get what Jesus is saying? He's saying we need to come to the Father like a little child. And if you're not prepared to do that, if you're not willing to let him touch you and be vulnerable, if you're not prepared to let your guard go down, if you're not prepared to actually sit on his lap and to spend time with him, like Marlise was saying, in his word and in his presence, then you are in danger of not inheriting the kingdom of heaven. If you do not come to him like, well, like one of these little ones. Will he come to me, you think? What's his name?
Jonathan.
Jonathan. Hey, buddy. Hi. Hi, Jonathan. If you're not willing, Jonathan's new to our church, by the way. If you're not willing to come to me like Jonathan, you got to admit, this is a minor miracle that he's doing this and not crying. Because, I mean, the whole illustration could be completely blown by Jonathan. But he is a real trooper. And this is what Jesus says. Just come. Come to me. Because I love you. And I just want to hold you in my arms. Do you get that? I just want to hold you in my arms. I just want to put my hand on you and bless you. There you go. I know. It's okay. It's okay. Here you go. Amen. Let's sing a song. Sorry about that. Stick that cup in his mouth. That's good. I hope you get it. You get the word. You understanding this? It's about humbling ourselves, right? Not being proud. It's about coming to Jesus and saying, okay, I will be vulnerable before you, and you can put your hands on me, you can bless me. Because the next thing that Jesus says is really a pretty startling statement. He says, you know what? Getting into heaven is a hard thing to do. I don't think we think of it that way. But Jesus says, it's impossible for you to get into heaven unless God does what he does. Getting into heaven is a hard thing to do if we try to do it on our terms. That's why we need God's amazing grace. You understand? You agree with me? You can't get into heaven. I don't care how great a Pharisee you are or how much money you have. You'll never get into heaven. It's impossible, Jesus says. And the disciples said, impossible? Well, then how are we ever going to get into heaven? And he says to his disciples, well, what's impossible with man is possible with God because of the grace of God. So think about that, right? That we come to him. We come to him and he's just ready to give his grace. I love the one thing we read about how he looked at the rich young ruler and he loved him. Did you hear that? Did you remember that part? Mark tells us that, right? You got to know this today, that he's doing that for you too. That Jesus is looking at you and he just says, I love her. I love that little guy. I love Barb. Jesus looks at Ricky and says, I love her. And he loves us whether we're arrogant, whether we count too much on our riches, whether we're proud. He still loves us. He looks at us and he loves us. I have a friend and his wife who were in San Francisco 2 weeks ago, and it just so happened, they're at a teacher's thing. Just so happened, they were in the same hotel as the President of the United States, Barack Obama. And they said, what a gong show that was. Every time Barack Obama pulled up or was near the hotel, everybody had to get into their rooms or stay 3 blocks away. There's no way anyone could get within sight. They never saw him. There's no way they could get near him. There was 3 or 4 blocks. Sometimes they were on the street, and suddenly the security guards would say, okay, it's time for you to go. You got to go all the way to that building because here comes the parkade. Here comes all the cars, right? He is absolutely unapproachable. There was no way in the world, even though they were staying in the same hotel, that they could even go up to that floor, let alone knock on his door and say, hey, Brock, it's me. You know, let's have coffee. That just isn't going to happen, right? Do you know that there are 300 Secret Service agents? 300 Secret Service agents that take care of him every day, that protect him. And do you know how much money they spend a year? Take a guess. How much money a year do they spend protecting the President of the United States? Millions? 800 million? $1.4 billion. $1.4 billion. And why am I telling you all that? Okay, Jay. I'm telling it because, you know what, the wonderful news is that with Jesus, we can approach him. And he actually knocks on my door. I don't need to knock on his door. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock, he says. And if you hear my voice, and what that means is he's saying our name, Anita, you know, Barb, right there. If you hear my voice and you open the door, I will come and I will dine with you. Isn't that great? Like we have someone who is God. He's not just the President of the United States, a sinful man. We're not going to get into that. But we have someone who is God. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. We should have absolutely no access to him. He is God after all. And what he says is, here's my arms. I want you in them. I want you to sit in my lap. I want you to come to me just like little Jonathan, right? Is that what we said his name was? Yeah. Just like Jonathan, I want you to come to me. And I want, this is really important, what I really want to do for you, Jesus says, is I want to lay my hands on you. I want to bless you. I wonder sometimes what we've lost as a culture because we don't do that. That was a real Hebrew thing to do. They blessed each other regularly. They laid their hands on each other. There was a blessing that was transferred from father to son over the life of that son, and it often went with hands that were put on a head and words of blessing, words inferring the Lord's favor on my son and my daughter. I wonder what we've lost in our culture because we need our distance and our space, and I don't want that creepy pastor to put his hands on my head. Well, I got news for you. I really believe that God today wants to put, Jesus, he wants to put his hands on your head. And I'm going to ask you today to be brave. I'm going to ask you to go out of your comfort zone. Not because I'm asking you to do it, but because I believe God wants you to do it. God wants to touch you. He wants, and it's not complicated. You don't need a college education. Jesus just wants to do something really simple for all of us today. He wants to put his hands on your head and say, "The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you." So I got this picture. You might say crazy picture. I'm not saying it's crazy, but the picture was that we do that together today. That we infer the blessing of God. And that in doing so, we find ourselves actually sitting on his lap where we should be. Sitting and experiencing his love and loving him back and just being willing to be touched and in the right and appropriate way with his hands on our heads and hearing him say, "I love you and I just bless you in the name of the Lord." And so here's what we're going to do. And if you start, first of all, would someone get the kids? We need the kids here. Wouldn't it be an awful sermon if we went through all of this and we left the kids outside? I thought about that later. I mean, they got to be here, and they need to be a part of this. So let's get all the kids in here, and I'm going to ask our leadership team, like three or four of you on this side and three or four of you on this side. Will you do that, Tim and Chad and Don and Crystal and Chris? And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. The rest of us, can you go stand around the circle like we do for Lord's Supper? Let's do that right now. Just get up. I know it feels funny. It don't matter. It's worth it. Let's stand in a circle. Here you go. A few more on that side. There we go. All right. Don't go to your cars quite yet. You get in the circle. Amen. Amen. Let's let the children come. And if you're here as a child, go find your mom or your dad. Okay, you go stand by your parents. Stand by your parents. This is not going to take all afternoon, but you are going to be blessed today. You are going to be blessed today. You are going to receive... Okay, shh. Thank you. You are going to receive the hand of the Lord on you. Remember that Jesus said that unless you come to me, like one of these little children, unless you come to me, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I want you to know today, as the leaders in our church, I think we have, what, nine of them, eight of them, as the leader lays his hand on your head, and it's not going to be a long thing, all they're going to do is put their hands on your head, and they're going to say, "The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you." And then you're going to move on. And here's the instructions for you. There's three things you need to do. You want to move over a little bit? I want to just make sure we know who the leaders are. There we go. Three things is that you lay your hands on their heads. Second thing, you look in their eyes. Don't do this, you know, Lord bless. You look in their eyes, the Lord bless you, Tim, and the Lord keep you. And that's the third thing. You just ask for the Lord's blessing. You say, "The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you." Can we do that? So here's what we're going to do. If you're going to come this way, and you're going to get blessed by four people, not just one. So it starts with Chris, and then it goes to Alvin, and then it goes to Charlene, and then it goes to Norma, and then you go back, okay? So we'll go back down to the middle, and then we're going to finish up with a song, and I want to give you the parting blessing of God. Let's pray first. God, thank you for our children and for the noise they make and for the joy and the excitement that they bring to our body. And I would just ask today, Lord Jesus, that because we are your church, we're the bride of Christ, we will be able to receive your blessing. Lay your hands on us, bless us, and keep us, and let your face shine upon us, and give us your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Jay, you're first. You go this way, and whoever is, I guess, Teresa. Okay, we're... I'm just going to play by myself here. Yeah, just for now.
Thank you, God.
I have a maker. He formed my heart even before time began. My life was in his hand. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. And he sees each tear that falls. He hears me when I call. Yes, he hears me when I call. And I have a father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name, and he knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls. Daniela, come up here and help me. Hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls. Hears me when I call. He hears me when I call. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
And hears me when I call. I have a father.
knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
He knows my name.
He knows my name.
Receive the blessing of God today. Receive the blessing of God and just let the hands of Jesus rest on you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Just receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. It again.
I have a maker before my heart. Before even time began, my life was in His hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought.
ahead, keep doing it.
He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls.
Even before time began,